There is a handout sheet in the bulletin if you do care to follow along today. I have this on. Is this on? Am I on? Let me see. Here we go. Now I'm on, right? Okay. Good. Thank you. If you've driven, if you're a visitor and you've driven by the church lately, you'll see that all the sermons for the last month have been talking about the judging aspect, where Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, where he says, "Judge not that you be not judged." I am continuing with that. Ironically, it's a, well, maybe you should just do a VBS closing message, but if you'll listen today, this is a VBS closing message. I know the title says avoiding a judgmental attitude, and we're going to look in Matthew chapter, or Luke chapter 18. It's the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And I thought it was interesting, as I was reading Warren Wiersbe this week about this passage, it's not only about the Pharisee and the publican, it's about the Pharisee, the publican, and the children. Because if you now, we're going to fast forward now, go down to verse 15. That's the passage we're going to read this morning, where it says this, "And they brought unto him," that means these parents brought unto Jesus. That's where "they" and "him" are. That's who they are. "And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." I find it very interesting that for years I've read these passages, and I have to admit, I've never drew the connection. And so the wonder of studying the Word of God and to learn something is just absolutely incredible. And so this is what I've learned. And it really helps the whole parable make sense when you look at it. Well, we started the other week where it says Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged." And he wasn't telling us that we should not make judgments in our life. You say, well, you're contradicting what Jesus said. No, he was addressing the Pharisees who walked around all the time looking down on other people because they didn't fit into the world in which they planned. They didn't look like them. They didn't dress like them. They didn't talk like them. And so, and because, to be honest, we all make judgments every day, do we not? I know what you're thinking right now. You're judging, how long is this sermon going to be? Right? Yeah. I understand. But you're also thinking about this time, where am I going to eat? Well, if you're like some people that have those remote control crock pots, you're turning yours off right now saying, there's no way we're not going to make it, right? Or you're thinking, well, maybe we're just going to stop by Burger King today, or am I going to venture? See, you're making judgments, right? Make judgments every day. Make judgments who you're going to talk to. Actually, in that message, we highlighted three things, three different judgments that we make all the time. As Christians, we make judgments whether or not to witness to somebody or share Jesus, as we talked about today. You know, the day five was sharing this good news. You realize when you share the gospel with someone, you are making judgments about that person. Number one, that they need Christ, that they're lost. Then we looked and we talked about judgments of, let me see, I get my message here, whether or not we're going to help someone and how we're going to help them. See, a lot of times when we help someone, we think it's taking dollars out of our pocket and putting it in our hand. But sometimes we make judgments and maybe teaching someone a work ethic, maybe teaching someone responsibility, things of that nature. And then we make judgments about serving. And sometimes people, you saw in the room when we had people stand up, we had a whole group of people made a judgment to serve in VBS. And it was just absolutely wonderful. But we have an announcement for the choir. You're going to make a judgment about whether you're not going to serve in the choir. But it goes beyond that. Who are you going to serve? We make judgments about that. Then the next day, or the next time I preached, we took that whole Matthew 7 passage where Jesus talks about the attitude that the Pharisees had, where they looked down on people, and Jesus said, you have a log in your eye, and you're going to get that guy's speck out of there. and we talked about how easy it is to see the need in other people's lives, or the sin in other people's lives, rather than see our sin. Well, we do have a tendency, if we're not careful, to see sin in someone else rather than ourselves. And Jesus put it and talked about a speck and a log, or a speck and a mote. Last week I talked about John 7, where Jesus came under condemnation for healing a man on the Sabbath. And he says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And we saw that that meant we're not supposed to take a passing glance and make a judgment. We're supposed to get the whole story. We're supposed to be diligent in God's word and the application there. Well, not today. What we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about this Pharisee, which if you read that passage, it's a passage that's like, wow, he really was full of himself, wasn't it? And notice this. Notice how Jesus introduces this parable. And he spake this parable, verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised other. You don't want to be like that, do you? Let me ask you, do you want to be like that? Absolutely not. You know, it's like, walk around. Well, he starts off and he tells this story that two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Well, the publican wasn't liked by anybody, but the Pharisee didn't like him. That's what he said. And so what we see about the Pharisee, as we look at him first, he said this: the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. It doesn't say within himself, does it? He prayed with himself. He was talking to himself. I wonder how many times do we end up praying where we're just talking to ourselves rather than talking to God? That's, I just threw that in for nothing, by the way, okay? But I want you to notice this. Look what he says. And he says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. Would you ever say that? I hope not. And then he goes on and he says, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, watches, or even as this guy standing next to me, this miserable publican, right? And then he goes on to commend himself before God again. I fast twice in a week and give tithes of all that I possess. Well, what happened? Well, here's what, if you're looking at your sheet, the Pharisee was deceived, first of all, about prayer. Okay? He was deceived about prayer. Well, what do you mean? Well, let me catch up to my notes here. As we look at his prayer, he prays to himself. The Pharisee was telling God how good he was and all that he had done, and also the fact that he certainly was not like the publican who was standing afar off. And what it is when he was deceived about prayer, what it came down to is the Pharisee used prayer as a means of recognition. He used prayer as a public recognition because they loved to stand in the corners, on the corners, and get that recognition. When prayer really is a spiritual exercise in our lives that we might glorify God. Isn't that interesting? So what we have here is he was deceived, first of all, about prayer. He was deceived about himself. You say, well, that's different, because what it was is he was deceived about himself, for he thought he was accepted by God because, now get this down, and I have this on your sheet. I could have made it shorter, but I want you to see this, because he thought he was accepted by God because of what he did or what he did not do. He thought everything he was saying made him acceptable by God. Now, let's look at his life a little bit. Quickly. Quickly is the word. Being a Pharisee, he was required to fast once a year on the Day of Atonement. That was his world. No, he fasted twice a week. You know why? Because it brought to him this attention. Because you understand, when they fasted, they made a deal about it. Because Jesus already rebuked them for they would walk around, and their physical demeanor about them was the fourth that everybody knew. Look at that Pharisee. He's fasting. What are you doing? I'm fasting today. And the Bible says that we're supposed to fast. We're supposed to fast as unto the Lord. People aren't supposed to know that we're fasting. And then he says this. He goes, you know what? I am so careful about the resources in my life that I have an herb garden, and I literally tithe a tenth of the herbs that are in my garden. Now look, how many of you have a garden out there? How many of you grow a garden right now, okay? Got tomatoes? How many of you got tomatoes? Got some tomatoes? Okay. Don't count 10 out and put one here at the church. Don't do that, okay? Don't do that, okay? I like tomatoes, but not that much, okay? But you see what they were doing is he was saying, this is who I am. He was deceived about himself, and his whole life was based upon, well, you know what? I must be accepted because of what I did, what I do, and what I do not. That's interesting. And then number three. Say, we're going through this pretty fast. We're on three already. Isn't that incredible? I planned it to go that fast. Right, Gary? That's right. You see, Gary's a trustee. You know, that's my paycheck. See, I've got to stop and tell you this. And it's the only time in the world. Watch this. Did you ever think about this? Is that it's the only place in the world where you're they want you to work less to get more, huh? Amen. Does that make sense? Does that make sense what I just said? Oh, yeah, yeah. Thanks, Gary. I love you, brother. Now, watch this. And then number three, he was deceived about those who were around him. So this Pharisee was deceived. What happens is this, is he was deceived about the publican who was also in the temple praying. The Pharisee thought the publican was a great sinner, but the publican, according now, let's read down here a minute. And the publican, verse 13, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Okay, that's the publican, right? And verse 14 says this, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. So when he was deceived about the publican went home saved, justified, because that's what the word justified means. He was right with God. And here's the publican comes, and he smotes his breast, and well, let's look at that. Well, let me back up here. Lest we forget, justified means to be declared righteous by God on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. See, when we say that the Pharisee was deceived about the publican, the Pharisee thought the publican was a great sinner, but the publican went home justified by God, while the Pharisee went home only self-satisfied. That became part of his ritual. He came to church, or he came to the temple, and he stood and he prayed thus with himself. And it happened like it happened all the other times. He went home self-satisfied, but he did not go home justified. Amen? That's a powerful thought. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about your life. I want to think about my life. Now, remember now, the title of the message is this, is avoiding a judgmental attitude. Because as we look at the Pharisee, is it possible that Dave Dressler has pharisaical tendencies in his life? Because if I do, that doesn't mean I lose my salvation. But those are attitudes that I need to identify in my life and realize that I never come to God on the basis of who I am. I never come to God on the basis of what I do. I come to God through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ only. Amen? Come on now, amen? Now, that flies in the face of pharisaical thought. Well, you say, well, brother, you don't know, I tithe. Brother, you don't know, I pray. Brother, I read the scriptures. That's right. We ought to do that. Come on now, amen? I'm not talking about a walk with God that's just all laid back and going to heaven. I don't care what you think. Right? Come on now, amen? And there is an attitude throughout Christianity like that. But I'll tell you what. If you don't know Jesus today, you need him as your Savior. That's what it comes down to. The Pharisee needed Jesus more than anything in his life, and he was self-satisfied just to go through a religious experience all the time. Amen? So he was deceived about those who were around him. And then it comes down to this, is the Pharisee's pride condemned him while the publican's humble faith saved him. Now see, here's what we're doing. We're explaining it now. And you say, well, why are you explaining it? Well, because Jesus explains it. And that's where Jesus introduces to us the children. I find that so powerful. And you say, yeah, see, everything I said right now was just introduction. You say, boy, we're in trouble. No, it's real easy after this. Because I want you to see this. In contrast to the proud Pharisee, are the children brought to Jesus. And, you know, it was customary that day for parents to bring their children to these rabbis who were teaching, people of importance, and they wanted them to pray. He wanted them to pray for their children. And it's interesting that Jesus' disciples would say this, oh, either he's too tired or he's just too busy. But anyways, they stopped it, and Jesus saw what was going on and said, whoa, can you hear Jesus doing that? Whoa. And it's like, hey, let him come on in. And he takes that opportunity, and he makes it into the lesson. And well, what's the lesson? Well, that's what it comes down to is this. Is number five. I say, we're at number five already, Gary. See, I can cut your name out, so no one will know it on the internet that I'm talking to you during the service. Watch it. I love it. He doesn't love me anymore, but that's okay. We're having a meeting Tuesday night. They whip me to death anyways, but hey. We avoid a judgmental attitude by embracing child life. Watch this. Humility, faith, and dependence, because that's what Jesus was teaching. Okay? There, you can get it. See, Jesus wants us to be childlike, not childish. It's a whole different thing. We're not talking about spoiled children. Come on now, amen? See, I was never spoiled. You can tell that, right? you know what I love about being grandpa? Of course, you all know what the best shop was in the marketplace, because if you were listening like I did during the thing, I heard a little voice say, Grandpa! And he's sitting right out there. See, my grandpa's my name, spoiling's my game. Right? Now, when we talk about children, we're talking about the innocence of a child. We're talking about that unspoiled, okay? When we talk about humility, because, you know, you do realize this, is that children need to be, well, let me put it like this. Let me ask you. Do children need to be taught how to lie or tell the truth? Tell the truth, right? Lying just comes natural, doesn't it? Did me. I shouldn't have told you that because now I'm a lying preacher, right? Right? Do you have to teach a child to, how do you put it this way? To not push and take, you teach them to respect and share, right? Oh, yeah, because sinning comes natural, does it not? Now, when we look at this, watch this. To be childlike in that innocence, to be childlike is to demonstrate humility. To be childlike is to demonstrate faith. To be childlike is to demonstrate dependence. And what we have is an unspoiled child. Now, this is according to Warren Wiersbe, okay? I copied it out of there. I'm going to give him the credit for it. But I think he's spot on. An unspoiled child illustrates humility, faith, and dependence. And don't you just love this about a child? A child has a sense of wonder about life. Isn't that wonderful? I just find it incredible. Now, to bring this around to VBS, I thought it was interesting. We made these little tops, right? And it was just a dowel rod and a wheel. And I would make that, and they'd sit there and they'd go. Sitting there. And they'd say, that ain't going to work. And you flip that thing on the table and it just goes and they go. And then I would tell them, I'd say, now if that goes, it's going to go all day. And we just had a lot of fun with them. Well, watch this. Some of them came back and they got 4 or 5 tops at their house. The wonder of one little thing. You know what happens? You know, we grow up. We grow up, become adults, and it's like we lose the wonder. Do we not lose the wonder of life? We don't have to. So many times we sit down and eat and we go, and we lose the wonder of how just food tastes just so good. I remember I went to Africa. First time I went to Africa, I went over to Malawi and went over there, and man, I ate a whole lot of different food that I never ate really before. And I got home and I flew in and I got to Atlanta Airport, and I found a Five Guys burgers and fries. And it was 9 o'clock in the morning, buddy. Of course, when you're up all night, 9 o'clock in the morning is not times for bacon and egg. It's a big old greasy, juicy hamburger, huh? Amen? And every bite of that thing was, oh man, right? The wonder. I love to watch people that have that excitement and wonder of life. Amen? It's all there. God's created this wonderful world for us to look at every day, for us to participate in every day. And how many times but anyways, I'll get off that. Change soapboxes. Well, how important really is this? You say, really? Yeah, well, see, we're done with it. We're done with the thing, right? No more? How important really is this? Well, here's what Jesus said. Jesus says the only way to enter God's kingdom is to become like a child and be born again. That's how important this is. Now, if the proud Pharisee had become like a child, he too would have gone home justified. And so that's what we talked about today. How do I avoid a judgmental attitude? How do I avoid this judgmental attitude? Oh my. I think it's like this. Is that I have to ask myself, do I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior? That's what it comes down to. For a lot of people, across our whole world today, people are just playing church. Pharisees are a dime a dozen. And today, my message to you and me is this: do we know Jesus? I don't think there's any better way to close out our VBS program than to say this: do you know Jesus? Because that's what it's all about. Let's pray.